This is the July 6th meeting. Sorry, this is the August 6th meeting of the PNB Governance Committee. I'm the chair, George Reiter.
Hello?
I'm going to call the roll. Just answer when you hear your name. Shyam Agamir. Lydia Brazan.
Here.
Mal Bernstein. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Nancy Henschel. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Pat Logan.
Here.
Tony Norman.
Here.
Myself, George Reiter, Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg. Tracy's off making a phone call.
Here, sorry. Okay. We're getting off mute.
Manisha Saba. Dina Pollard-Sachs. John Wenger.
Here.
Jane Zara. Okay, so we have quorum. The agenda, there was actually nothing left over from the last meeting. I got a message from Lydia, I guess yesterday, wanting to, I guess, reconsider the timeline for the bylaws. Is that correct, Lydia?
Well, at our last meeting, I said that I would develop a draft for the new time for bylaws amendment.
Okay.
So I did that. That's what I said.
So that's what it is. Okay. So that's on the agenda. I would like to get the minutes for the last two meetings approved. And
George, I have another item.
And what's the other item?
The other item is the elections timeline. I know this isn't the elections committee, but we have been chiming in. But in view of the the governance committee implications of other issues we'll have to consider, like the LSB feeding, blah, 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 I think that we can take it up, and that's the only way I can see of having such a timeline realized, is that we do have a meeting this Thursday and in 2 weeks. So it would give more time to consider it. So I would like to have that as an option on the, as an item on the agenda.
Okay.
George, this is Vanessa. The last time, at the end of the last meeting, I asked to place on the agenda for this meeting, I don't know if it's on there already, just a discussion about concerns about the IED.
Okay, I'm sorry, I forgot that.
Okay.
And George, John Wenger to the queue, please.
Yes, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I have a very simple amendment that I think we need to have on there, and that is the amendment shall be that Pacifica employee salaries shall be available to all the local station boards. That's the amendment. It's simple as heck. The problem is we're in financial crisis because we, the LSBs, don't have access to that data. We need to open it up. That's the idea.
Okay.
We
don't have to argue it now, John. It's on the agenda.
It's one sentence long, so let's put it up real up in the front so that it can do this, because this is something we talked about last year, and we never got around.
John, we don't have to argue it now. I just want to get all the items for the agenda, and then we'll see which ones you want to take first.
You have reached the maximum time permitted to record.
What?
To send your message, press 1 at any time. To listen
That's not
to your
me.
Message, press 2. To re-record, press 3. For more options, press 4. To cancel, press star.
Anybody have any idea what's... Okay, it's gone.
Somebody was supposed to call.
Okay. Any other items for the agenda? So far, I have the minutes, the timeline for the bylaws, the elections timeline, concerns about the IED, and making public Pacifica employee salaries. Anything else? Okay. Anybody? So that's the order. We'll take them in unless somebody wants to move to change the order.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
The concept is real simple. We talked about it last year. We're going to do it this year. The committee took a really long time to get convened, and it's way overdue, and it's really old business from last year. It's proposed before. Let's move on. It's simple and easy to understand.
Where do you want to put it?
But it's, I guess probably the timeline of the bylaws is the most important thing. Right after the timeline of the bylaws and right before the other ones.
Right before the elections.
Yeah.
Okay, is there any objection to that?
This is Lydia.
Yeah?
I think it should be after election. Because it will be...
Okay.
You know, that'll be a lengthy discussion as to whether to consider, refer, you know, all kinds of issues involved with what's being thought. So,
okay.
I'd like to also put something on the agenda, George.
Yeah, what is it, Bart?
Article 4 of the bylaws in regards to eligibility of any listener sponsor member in good standing. I have a concern from a listener, and I guess it will fall under the concern of the IED as well.
So this is a question about some particular situation, how the Article 4 relates to it. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, okay, I'll just call it Article 4, and you will tell us more about it when we get to it.
Yes, so, Section 2, specifically.
Okay, so... let's see. So we have to decide whether to move up John's making public Pacific employee salaries. He wanted to move it before elections. Lydia would like to have it after elections. Anybody else want to speak to that? John, is it okay with you if it's after elections?
I can live with it, but the question is, if I can't live with it if we don't get to it, because this is last year's business. Is carried forward, and you know, the
are you basically standing aside so we'll put it after elections, or do you want to take a vote on
why don't we flip a coin then, if only the two of us care?
What's that?
Why don't you flip a coin if only two of us care?
I'm sorry, why don't I what?
George, why don't you flip the coin? Lydia wants it one way, I want it the other way. So why don't, and nobody else cares enough to say even one word about it, so why don't you flip the coin? That's what Pacifica does in ties, in elections. That's part of the STV ruling.
Well, what I'll do is I'll take a vote on it. That works too. A vote on yes puts it before elections, a vote no puts it after elections. Are there any other objections to that? I hear none.
This is Bob.
Yes, Bob, go ahead.
Yes, I object to putting it before elections. I think the elections are, you know, an important time-sensitive issue that I think the goal of what Lydia is proposing is to move something forward to the PNB, so, you know, in a timely fashion. So as important as the other issue is, I think it can wait a little longer. And it sounds like we'll get to it tonight anyway, so it's not like putting it later would preclude it from being discussed tonight.
Okay, so what I was really asking was, is anyone object to it being in one of those two positions? Okay.
George, can I get on a stack to discuss?
Yes.
Yeah, me too, George. Lawrence, I'd like to get on the stack.
Tracy, then Lawrence.
Vanessa, please.
Then Vanessa.
Okay. I mean, I just want to remind us that we're the governance committee, not the elections committee itself. And the PNB has in front of it at least six motions at the moment relating to the need to have this election go forward. So I'm really not sure that passing anything tonight is going to change that one way or the other. The issue is certainly on the agenda. There's motions upon motions upon motions. There's a whole committee devoted to the elections. So I'm inclined to think if there's an issue that feels urgent to a member here and is sitting around for some time, which is what I'm getting from John, that it might be good to go ahead and deal with that and not prioritize the collection to the extent that we ignore everything else. So good. I'm going to vote, I guess, what is that, in favor of John's motion?
Yes, that's the way I'm going to propose it.
If I have the syntax right, for what it's worth.
Okay. Lawrence.
Yeah, I understand Tracy's concerns, but I also agree with Bob in regards to we had weighed into the election at the very initial PNB Governance Committee meeting when it first convened this year. So, I mean, we're weighing in because there's a serious concern about the trepidation and the hesitation from the national office to hold these elections. So I will vote in favor of Lydia's motion.
Okay. And Vanessa?
I'm voting in support of putting the presumed to be shorter agenda item in front of the elections issue. It's not to say that that issue is more important, but I think there is a possibility that the elections, given its importance, could, you know, take up quite a bit of time and that we'd never get to the other issue. I consider that issue, knowing the salaries of the PNB, and hopefully that also includes the GMs at the local station boards, because we're unable to get that information from the GM despite repeated requests, and I think it's outrageous that the LSB will not be informed of the salary of the GM, especially given that the staff are suffering first a 50% salary cut and now a 25% salary cut, and we don't know how much the GM makes. And so I think it could be very quickly dispensed with, especially if it's something held over from last year. So I would vote to put that in front of the elections issue, which I think will take a lot of time.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is to take a vote on that issue and just
Mr.
call
Chair,
the roll on
you,
it.
Unless, Mr. Chair, could you clarify the yes and no?
So a yes puts it in front of elections and a no puts it behind elections.
Thank you.
Okay, so Shahram Agamir. Lydia Brazan.
No.
Mal Bernstein. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Nancy Henschel. Bob Lederer.
No.
Pat Logan.
Yes.
Tony Norman. Tony?
Abstain.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yeah. No.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes. Sorry, yes.
Manages Saba. Dina Pollard Sachs. John Wenger.
Yes.
Jane Zara. No. Okay, so I'm going to abstain. It's 4-3 to put it in front, and so that's what we'll do then. Okay. Are there any other changes to the agenda? So, okay, hearing none then. The first item, I'd like to approve the minutes. I sent you both.
I'm sorry, point of order?
Yeah, good.
Could you just read out the entire agenda
sure.
as amended?
The first item would be the minutes. The second would be the timeline for the bylaws amendments. The next would be the concerns about the elections, followed by John's motion about Pacific employee salaries being public, and finally concerns about the IED. Okay, so I just sent you again the minutes for the last two meetings, and I'd like to get them approved so that the people who haven't been making the call, I can call them up and say, look, you haven't made it for two times in a row. Make it to the third time or you're off the meeting or you're off the committee. Is there any objection to the minutes? Let's do them in opposite order. The last minutes that were sent out, which was for July 17th.
Kent, Vanessa, just point, I guess, point of order. I did not receive the minutes, and I apologize. I don't know when you sent them, but I would recommend, I'm assuming they'll be approved, but if you could hold the record open for like 5 days, with anybody like me who hasn't had the opportunity to do so, and if we have anything we want to add, then we can do it within that 5 days. And if not, it's just approved as it stands as approved.
That's okay with me, but I did send them again about 15 minutes ago.
I haven't been at the computer this evening.
Oh, okay. 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 Is there any other objection to the minutes of July 17th? And I won't act on them for 5 days.
Thank you.
Is there any... okay, hearing none, then. They're approved. Is there any objection to the minutes of June 26th?
Same condition.
Same condition. And hearing none, they're approved. Okay, great.
Yeah, and George, would you send it to me personally? Because John Wenger, I don't remember getting them either. I wrote to Otis asking about the problem on the list. He doesn't know what it is, but I don't get them.
You're not getting anything from the Go list?
Nope, I get personal messages from you and nothing from the Gov list. Yeah, I got one from Lydia. I got Lydia's thing yesterday.
And you're listed there as being netskier@gmail.com. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. And the I comes before the E.
Yeah, okay, I'll send it to you, John.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Lydia, would you make... introduce the timeline as you put it together for the bylaws.
Yeah, I'm still driving. I'm almost home. So if someone else can read it, I sent it out if anyone has it before them. But you squeaked by. As I discussed at the last meeting, that my personal interest is trying to reduce the quorum from 10 to 5% to pass the bylaws amendment. That's actually my motivation in this. That's the only thing I have going here. And it barely, if the election timeline is passed, it makes it before the count and so forth. So I think it would be still viable to apply a new reduced quorum. And that would reduce our election costs, since that tends to raise it, certainly at KPFK and often at it has been the case at PFW. I don't have it before me. I'm just pulling in.
Anybody else? I'm having difficulty getting it up somehow.
Okay. But everybody
here it is.
Should not.
Let's see. I got to the one you sent at 8:04 p.m. Let's see if I can get the list.
It's the one I sent yesterday with the bylaws. Today I sent election.
Right.
Oh, just pulling into my carport here to get my bag out, glasses, and then I can read it. So let me speak to my preamble, as it were. That we did. This was the amendment to the amendment process was something that we were able to accomplish and get through. Actually, long discussions in governance, as you said, and that was successful. And I think it's good that even that little initial period of noticing is cut down somewhat, but in order for everyone to be aware, especially because it involves at least the bylaws amendment I'm hoping to propose, has election implications, that it's valuable to get the word out as soon as possible. So that was my urgency in trying to get this done. And as we discussed at our last meeting, I'm just walking in. Okay. Okay. Nobody else has it.
I've got it in front of me. I do now.
Okay.
The substance of it is to establish October 2nd as the date in which the bylaws will be posted. And then the earliest voting date would be November 16th. There's then 60 days after that for the board. And I'm not sure whether the board will vote first, which would certainly make sense, but I don't know whether that's part of what you're requiring. So I
was going for it, but I don't think I achieved it. I'm not sure.
In any case, the board and the three of the LSBs have to pass it within 60 days. So the other version you had was being August 16th for the submission, and about 2 weeks after that would be like the beginning of September for the notice date. Why did you want to push it back further?
I don't know. I didn't remember sending two versions. But the problem was, it wasn't a problem thing. It's just that we rewrote with the amendments. It used to read the amendment process used to say all properly proposed bylaws shall be proposed by August 16th. And that was the original language of the bylaws. That was changed with the last bylaws amendment. So there's no longer a proposed by date, for one thing. So, you know, given that and given the fact that I don't know which of the PMB meetings we might pass this, that I didn't want to concretize that particular date. And no one knows we're doing this. So to say that all bylaws should be proposed by August 16th seems too early. Because there may be other people with other bylaws in them. So.
Okay, well, so that's the proposal in front of us. The notice date would be October 2nd, and the bylaws as amended then have the procedure for what happens after that. Is there any objection to that?
John, into the queue, please.
Okay, John, go ahead.
Yeah, regarding your question about who goes first, the PNB or the LSB, well, logically it makes sense that the PNB go first, but given that meeting times are always a bit of a challenge to set up, I don't think it really matters the order. The worst case is an LSB that votes before the PNB would waste that LSB's efforts if the PNB didn't pass it. But other than wasting a little time and energy, which is not the worst thing that's ever happened on a LSB meeting, I don't think it matters too much. So I think we should make it as easy as possible to facilitate this, and so therefore the order shouldn't matter, because the more constraints you put on it, the more you over. Basically, it's the problem is over constraints. And we don't want to over-constrain the process. Just make it easier, not harder. And so, as a philosophically.
Okay,
George,
so
I'm sorry.
I wasn't
George,
proposing that as an amendment to Lydia's motion.
Yeah, well, I propose that as an amendment. Let's make it as easy as possible. Unless there's an objection to it.
Who'd like to speak?
There may be some reason why the PNB has to go. But it's desirable, but I don't think it has to. And if we don't have a reason for have to, then let's make it as easy as possible.
Okay. Hey, John, as it stands, there's nothing in it about the order in which the PNB or votes. So if we just leave it as it is,
then
it accomplishes what you want. Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, and just to point out, November 16th is a Saturday, and I know KPFK's board is meeting then. So once we make the timetable available, it may be that the other LSBs may want to schedule a special delegates meeting to vote on the bylaws. So I think it could be. We did the same thing last year. We didn't put the PNB in front of the LSBs, as I recall. So some voted before, some after.
Okay. Anybody
George,
else want to speak to this?
George, this is Sharam. I'm on the call. I just wanted to.
Sharam.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak to this? Any objection to the proposal as Lydia proposed it, which is that the notification date is October 2nd and everything else proceeds as in the bylaws? Okay, hearing none. Then that's moved, and let's see. I'll forward it to the PNB, and Lydia, you'll have to carry it to the floor.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the next item is the elections motion.
No, it's not.
Lydia,
no, it's not.
That was yours as well.
We changed it, George.
No, we.
Oh, I'm sorry. We did change it. I'm sorry. We did change it. Yes. Okay. So John, state again what your motion says.
Yeah. All Pacifica employees shall be available to their the LSPs. That's as simple as possible. You can make it stronger if you want. I want to make it as easy as possible to pass this. We've had, I think, the whole network historically had difficult times with budgets and financial matters. And basically, it's because the LSPs are in the dark. So let's go to openness. We have openness and transparency in the state of California. The governor, the mayors, all their salaries are public. Let's just make them public. If it doesn't have to be public, the minimum requirement is to make them available to the LSPs so we have visibility into those salaries so we can figure out what to do about the budget.
Okay.
Pat, to the staff.
I'm sorry, who is that? Pat? Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, Lawrence to the stack.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would add the national office is included in that because we pay 19% of our money to the national office as an income tax. So we need to find out whether we're getting value received.
Okay. So I've got Pat, Lawrence. Anybody else for the stack?
Vanessa.
Lydia. Anybody else? Okay, Pat.
Since I wasn't on the LSB last year, and since I didn't happen to listen to the governance committee, I would like to know exactly when it says Pacifica employees, who exactly is included and excluded from that. And the other thing I'd like to know is, was this brought to the Pacifica's attorney? Was there any discussion of if there are any legal ramifications of this? Is it fine? Those are my two questions.
Well,
Tracy for the stack.
That was a request for information. Is there anybody can speak to that, and then we'll get back to the stack?
Yeah, I think so. This is Tracy.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I know we've talked about this on the governance committee before, and I missed the last couple of meetings, but members that do have membership rights can go to court. It's basically a request for sort of an injunction requiring action in order to maintain those membership rights to vote. It isn't a particularly complex or expensive legal proceeding in the sense that the judge hears it and then says, you have to send ballots out or not. So in terms of the legal ramifications, that's really about all that there is. If we were, in fact, in process of scheduling an election and could tell a judge we're in the process of doing it, we're late, but we are going to send it on such and such
Tracy,
a date.
Let me interrupt for a moment. We're not speaking to the elections issue. We're speaking to the motion that John Wenger put forward, which was to make public employee salaries.
Oh, to make public employee salaries. That's a totally different issue.
I don't believe
that's legal. I'm sorry. I thought we had switched to the election subject. I had you guys on mute for a minute because I had to play some audio.
I figured that's what
I'm sorry.
No, we didn't. I made a mistake in the sequence.
Okay. So John's motion is the one to put to make public salaries. No, I don't believe that's been sent to council, but my guess is it would be problematic from a legal point of view.
Anybody else want to speak to Pat's questions?
Yeah, John Wenger does.
I'm sorry, there are two voices. John Wenger and who else?
I was on the stack. Lawrence was on the stack. So
this is a specific question related to what was just said.
Repeat the questions again, Pat.
The first question was about which Pacifica employees specifically are included and excluded in this motion, and the second one was about the legal ramifications.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. John, it's your motion, so I think you could probably answer the first part.
Right, yeah. With regard to employees, basically it's people who get checks. If you are employee basically means you get checks and they report your salary to the income tax to the IRS as income. So if you're receiving income, not compensation for petty cash, but actual income, you're doing a job working for Pacifica, you're a paid employee. So if you're a paid employee, this would count. Now, with regard to the word public, that wasn't my word. That was somebody else's
word.
And I'm personally not opposed to public, but I want it to be passed. Yeah. And there may be legal issues that make it problematic as to whether it can be public to the world, but certainly available to the LSBs, since we are the basically, as LSB members, we review and approve our local budget, so it's incumbent upon us to know what the heck we're paying for. We're sending our income, 19% of it. I guess the rest of you guys send 20%. We get 1% a break because we house the archives for free, so we get a 1% break on our income tax. But the national office has employees, too, and the question is, are we getting value for that money? So I think that the at least the LSBs should have access to the information.
John, I'll put you back on the stack, but this was just an opportunity to answer Pat's question. No. I think you've answered it.
It's not public. It's LSB access.
Yes. That was my mistake in summarizing it. The other question was legal issues. Were they explored in the past? Does anybody know?
I don't think they have been.
This is Tracy with a question.
Okay, what's your question?
John, does the text of your motion specifically say that employee salaries should be available to members of the local board, or does it say it should be available to the public?
The local board.
To the local board. Boards. All of the boards should get all of the information about all of the employees and all of the stations and the national office. Let's just make it as simple as possible. The LSBs are a privileged class and get to see and have financial transparency to see that not only employees of their own station, but also the other ones, because maybe there's something there we'd like to have an opinion about. Let's open it up.
Okay. I just wanted to get what the wording was on the motion. Thanks.
Yep.
Lawrence?
Yeah, I guess you sort of partially answered my question in regards to public. I am interested in transparency in regards to, you know, what the employee salaries are. But my concern is how confidential is that going to be? And what practice, and maybe this is a question to counsel, what practice does other 501c3s and 504s engage in I guess, since we're ruled by the corporate code of California as a foundation, what is their practice in terms of disclosure of salaries and information in regards to people who are paid a salary and taxes are claimed on their salaries?
Okay.
So that's the question, and I don't know if anybody could answer that. Maybe Lydia could. But what is the practice with 501c3s and 504s and 505s in terms of nonprofit the disclosures, and you know, how transparent should we be and how transparent are we?
Okay, so I hear the question is, what does California code say about those two issues?
Right.
I'll just go down the stack, and if people can speak to it, then please do. Vanessa?
Okay, well, I have a question. John, I just want to triple check and make sure I understand the motion, because I just want to make sure that the LSBs have access to the salaries of management, to LSB management. So if your motion includes that, Otherwise, I was going to add a friendly amendment, but it sounds like it's a pretty inclusive motion. That's what your motion is?
All employees. All employees who receive salaries that are taxed by the government.
Okay, all LSPs receive all of that information?
If they want to.
Okay, all right. So they'd have to ask, or it wouldn't just be something where they should receive it?
Well, the point is the treasurers have it. The treasurers have access to the salaries, and PNB policy from 2004, the treasurers may, I don't know if they have to, it's really, you should fire your treasurer if they don't give it to you. The treasurers are allowed to basically obfuscate the salaries. That is to say, suppose my salary is $30,000, and you can put it in a range of $1,500. So you could say $30,000 plus or minus $1,500, or you could say that John's salary is in that range, and he works for Pacifica as the general manager or something. That is there right now. All LSB members can get that information within that obfuscation range right now, and that's from PNB policy from 2004. Our people at KPFK won't give it to us because they are, they just haven't done it when asked. And so it's that's their election of duty. But that is the policy. You're entitled to get it right now from your treasurer.
Okay, so that's not working at PFW either, not because our treasurer won't give it, but because my understanding is that he does not have it. He does not have access to it, and it has become quite the issue to get the GM salary, especially under the circumstances that the other staff are working under. Their salaries are slashed, and management salaries are not, and they won't. I just wanted to make sure. And are you including consultants? Because sometimes some of the employees, like a program director, might be employed as a consultant. So would that be included as well? It's not taxable. It's just wages, whatever their wages are.
Well, wages are taxable. Let's just make it all salaries. I mean, if you go buy a box of pencils and you get compensated from petty cash, that's not income. But if you do a job and get paid for your job, I want to make it as simple as possible. You work for the station, you get paid by the station, your salary becomes available to the LSP.
Okay. Can
you read the statute?
Tracy for the staff,
there's too many people speaking. Vanessa has the floor.
I do. I'll be very quick. I just wanted to make sure I understood. And the other thing is, somebody said, ask, would it be confidential?
And Tracy, you're on the
stage. I don't know that I even agree with the information being confidential. If it were not listener supported, listener funded, then I think it would be a different issue. But the public is paying money to support the station, and a large part of that support is administrative, as with any organization. And so I think they have a right to know what they're paying for. And then someone else mentioned that they presumed it would be legally problematic to publish the salaries, and I guess for the same reason, again, I don't understand that. I work for a union, and the union members have every right to know how much I make because their dues pay for my salary.
Okay.
I'm done.
Lydia.
This issue, I would like to move to refer this to the Finance Committee, and the reason is because this has been discussed year after year after year. I don't know how concretely those policies have been updated. John is correct about the 2004 motion. I would support something else, but it doesn't seem to be like a governance issue. It's a Finance Committee issue, and the treasurer should be present to a – the committee should vote to enforce that or whatever, but it's not, in my opinion, a governance committee issue, and it is a that complex. I don't have any objection. What is required are the top salaries on our 990s, which can be found online of management. Doesn't include all of the GMs, as I recall. But anyway, so I don't have an objection to the issue. I do have an objection to it being vetted in this committee when the expertise is in the Finance Committee.
John,
Tracy for the stack.
Tracy, go ahead.
John to the queue.
Yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
Okay.
Two quick things. Vanessa, let me actually do this more broadly than just addressing it to Vanessa. The GMs in the foundation all make the same amount of money. It's a set salary. I know exactly what the figure is, and there's no reason for your treasurer not to feel that he doesn't know what that figure is. I will tell him. He can tell the LSB. I would tell you, except that we're on a stream, so I'm not going to do that. But if you want to have a private conversation, I will inform you, and you may inform the LSB.
Okay.
The GM salaries are consistent throughout the network. They are the same at all five stations. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, in terms of referring this to the Finance Committee, what I would say is the Finance Committee has 8 budgets to do in the next 3 months, only one of which is completed. And therefore, realistically, if John would like some sort of adjudication of his issue, it probably, referring it to the Finance Committee probably means it would not surface until October or November. So I would discourage the referring to the Finance Committee and would hope that this committee could take the issue up and, you know, decide what it wants to do with the motion one way or the other.
Well, what's on the floor is Lydia's motion to refer. We can just anyone want to speak to that, whether they want to?
Yes, John Langer wants to speak
to
that.
Yes, go ahead, John.
Yeah, the reason it is a governance motion and not a Finance Committee motion is because the bylaws talk about governance. One of the issues of one of the duties of governance is that the LSB, basically, this is a close to a quotation of the bylaws, the LSB shall review and approve the annual budget of the station. Well, okay, you're going to review and approve the annual budget of the station. Well, two-thirds of the budget is salaries. Two-thirds of the salaries, I mean, those salaries are classified. So two-thirds of the budget is classified, and the LSB is kept in the dark from looking at, I'm going around the corner here, is kept in the dark from knowing what's going on with regard to the budget they're supposed to review and approve. Now, they're not even able to do their fiduciary duty because they don't get to see the salaries. So it's obviously a governance issue, and the question is not, The Finance Committee, I've been on the Finance Committee, the National Finance Committee, I've been a treasurer. They do different work. The issue here is governance and meta-governance. And the issue here is that we need to have access to the data so that we can make informed decisions. It's our fiduciary duty to review and approve, and we cannot do it if we don't see two-thirds of the data. So isn't it clear to everybody that it's obviously a governance issue? How can you make a meaningful review and approval if you don't get to see the data? So therefore, it's governance. Case closed.
Does anyone else want to speak to this who hasn't spoken yet? Okay.
This is Bob Lederer.
Good, Bob.
Yeah, I think the key issue here is what was mentioned earlier about the existing policy has been in effect for a decade, requiring that management give to the treasurers of the five stations the salary figures, and then the treasurer should share that within a $3,000 range with the LSB. And it sounds like that policy is not being enforced across the board. So it seems like the way we might approach it is to develop some wording about that the information has come to the governance committee that this policy is not being carried out across the board, and it's a very important policy that should be carried out, and that should move forward, which would serve as both a reminder and a reinforcement of the existing policy. I also have a question about the policy. Is that 3,000? First of all, am I right that it's within a $3,000 range? And second of all, does management fall under that $3,000 range, or was that only for employees, staff employees that are non-management?
John, to the queue.
Well,
it's just a factual question.
Can anyone answer that question?
John Wenger knows the answer.
Okay, good, John.
Yeah, it's for all employees, and the $3,000
range is just that. It's the $3,000 range. And by the way, it's written by, I don't want to insult anybody, how can I say this kindly, it's written by somebody who wasn't very good with English because it's not at all clear what it says. If you make it $3,000 plus or minus $1,500, then you can just divide, you get to see it. It is a meaningless way of obfuscating data. It is the current policy is garbage, and it's hard to do. And when I was a treasurer, I had to give the salaries. I had to mess around with the spreadsheets, and do a bunch of work. And I just slowed things down. No wonder the treasurers don't want to do it because it takes too much time. It's hard to understand what it even means.
John, it was a factual question.
Yeah, it's just as a $3,000 range.
Yeah, I have another factual question, which is the treasurer has access to just the employee information at his station or at all stations?
Treasurers, as a function of being on the National Finance Committee, get to see the complete budgets, including the salary information of all the stations and including the national office.
And could give that information within those error bars to any LSB member who asked for it.
Yeah, that has been done at KPFK, and I think it was within the letter of the policy.
Right.
Bob and Stack. George, Bob, what was one more factual question.
Okay.
To whoever knows, what was the rationale, or what is the rationale for management being, the salaries of management not being able to be made public? I can understand about, I know there's some union contracts that may, or union agreements that may say something about keeping their salaries confidential. Although I know the one at WBAI actually lists, I mean, it's a public document, it lists what the minimum salary is. But in any case, my question, though, is about management, which is not covered by any union contract. What is the reason why they can't be made public? Especially since, as Lydia said, the 990 form requires nonprofits to list the five highest paid employees of the organization. So that's public. So it seems arbitrary. Some management salaries are legally required to be made public, and others, by Pacifica policy, cannot be. What's the rationale?
Lawrence Sack?
John into the queue.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Am I on?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so I consciously believe that this is a governance issue because of the history and the lack of information and the lack of transparency that has gone on in this network that has caused a lot of conflict. So I'm compelled to support John's motion in regards to making salaries available at least to the local station boards of all employees. So I'm definitely going to support that because consciously I don't see any other way to do it. So,
anyone else who want to speak who hasn't spoken to this?
Just a point of information, Vanessa. I just wanted to ask, why is there that $3,000 variance? Why not just publish or allow the salaries to be known exactly as they are? Why is there that variation?
Okay, so Bob had a question also about why. What's the logic of this policy? And I don't know that. Well, does anyone want to speak to either one of those questions?
Yeah, John Wenger does.
Okay.
And this is Lydia.
Okay, good. John and then Lydia.
Mine's only a cynical guess. Knowledge is power, and if you keep the knowledge to yourself, you have power, and it disempowers LSPs. So that's the reason management wants to do it. I'm done.
Okay, Lydia.
Does this include the national office? And in terms, if you want to seek the rationale of what it was passed, you need to go online and listen to the discussion. There's no way we can
characterize
what other people say, but since John has that policy in hand, he probably knows when it was passed, and you can go online and listen to the audio. That would probably be the best. But I do want to know if this includes national office staff.
Yes, it does, as I understand it. Is that correct, John?
It is.
Okay. What I'd like to do is to take a vote on whether or not to refer this to finance. Is there any objection to going to a vote on that? Okay.
This is Lydia. I can withdraw it whether we don't have seconds in the committee, right?
You don't have seconds. That's right.
I withdraw it.
Okay. Is there any objection to going to a vote on John's proposal?
This is Bob.
Bob?
I just realized there's one other unresolved question I have before we vote. I think Vanessa asked about whether it covers consultants, and John said anyone who, I don't remember his exact words, but anyone who makes money from the station, but I don't think the wording captures that. So if the intent is to capture both salaried employees and consultants, I think it needs to say it explicitly. So it's a question.
I accept that. If that's a friendly amendment, I accept it.
What would be the wording of the amendment?
Including both salaried employees and consultants.
Can we hear the entire motion as amended read out?
Yes. Good, John.
Well, I don't have it in front of me. I've been driving a car and doing all this in my head. Hopefully somebody has written down the first sentence. But all Pacifica employees' salaries, comma, including both salaried employees and consultants, comma, shall be available to all LSV members.
Okay.
Well, this is Bob. This is still a very imprecise motion. First of all, consultants are not a form of employees. They're a separate thing. So it's not all employees, including consultants. It would be the salaries of all Pacifica employees and consultants.
I accept that friendly amendment.
And it's not shall be made available, because that would imply one by one each LSV member would have to file a request to receive them. I think it should be the salaries of all Pacifica employees and consultants shall be disclosed to each LSV as part of the annual budget process, or something like that.
Is it clear? I'm sorry, this is Vanessa, point of information. Is it clear from whom that information would be received in terms of process?
That's a good question. I mean, the local budgets always come from the GM, but the national, I don't know, maybe Tracy could address that.
Well, the fact is, can I speak to that?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah. Let's just have the, in fleshing it out, the general managers shall send it via email or registered mail, whichever you guys want, to the local board members. With regard to the other stations, the logical thing is that the treasurers get this information because they get it at the National Finance Committee meeting, and they should, in turn, send it to their respective LSV members. That way, for the other four stations and the national office, the treasurers will disperse the information. Maybe it makes sense to have the treasurer disperse all the information, and then you have a unified process. So I think that's the best.
Well, I think the motion doesn't have to specify all that, I think, and John's sense was to make it as simple as possible, and it doesn't specify all that.
Part of the simplicity is making sure that we know how the process works. Mm-hmm. In the absence of that, nobody's accountable, responsible, identified.
Do you want to add an amendment to it to make that specific?
Whatever the last person said sounds fine to me.
Yeah, that was me, John.
Yes,
so let's amend it. Let's amend it to say the treasurer shall send this information out I don't remember the budgetary process timeline. It's always delayed. So how about
August is on May 1st.
On May 1st, the information shall be sent by the treasurer to their local station boards.
If I may make a slight friendly amendment, just the GM and or the treasurer, that two people identified, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, so how would it read now?
Either the GM or treasurer shall send the information to the local board members.
Okay, so what I have is the following. The salaries of all Pacifica employees and all payments to consultants shall be disclosed to each LSB prior to the budget process beginning. The GM or treasurer shall forward this information by May 1st.
Yeah, or both, because let's not let them off the hook by saying, yeah, I thought the other guy was doing it.
Right, yeah. It's and or, right.
And or.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so that's the motion. Can we go to a vote on that? Any objection to going to a vote on it? Okay, hearing none then. So a yes vote will approve this and forward it to the PNB for action. Shara Magomir. Shara? Okay. Lydia Brazan.
I'm sorry. This is... I had to get off for a minute. The vote, please.
This is the vote on the motion to make the salaries and...
Yes.
Okay. Mal Bernstein. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs.
Yes.
Is there any objection to this?
Chair, I'd like you to continue with the roll call vote.
Okay. Let's see. Lydia, Vanessa, you said yes. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Nancy Henschel? Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Tony Norman?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
No objection. I'm just going to abstain for the record.
Abstain. Okay.
Yeah.
Manager Seba? Dina Pollard-Sachs? John Wenger?
Yes.
Jane Zara? And I'll vote yes, too. So it's...
George, this is Cheryl. I'm voting yes, too.
Pat, okay. You didn't call me.
I'm sorry. Jane? Who didn't I call?
Pat.
Pat, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I missed it.
I vote yes.
Okay, so it's 9-4-1
objection. 8 or 9
to 0. Well, there's one objection. Well, one abstention. So it's 9-4-1 objection. Okay, great. So I will forward that to the LSB for action. Next item is the election. And Lydia, you had a wording that you wanted to put on the floor. Lydia? Lydia?
Sorry. Did everyone receive it?
Yes, I did.
Anyone not receive it?
I did not. I don't know if one was sent, but I did not.
Yeah, I didn't get it yet either. I'll check my mail.
If you got the one yesterday on the PMB, you should have gotten this one, but this was sent today. Okay, so elections timeline would be... No, I hope this is my correct timeline. Okay. September 1st, to have the nomination period open, remain open through September 30th. Ballots should be mailed and made available to all the members on November 15th. To be counted, a ballot must be received on or before December 30th. So it gets through the year, and then it allows for the 15 days to report into January, in which case then it becomes another governance committee issue about what we do with the LSB officer and director elections and so forth, but that's a separate issue. This is just focused on the elections. And this is the only way I see that we can have it within this year and minimize our legal exposure.
Okay, it's open for discussion.
This is just a point of information. Could you just repeat that one more time? I'm trying to write it down.